Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
With us now, Northern New Jersey Congressman Bill Pascrell of Essex and Passaic Counties, fresh from his reelection, a Democrat who will be in the thick of the fiscal cliff debates because he sits on the Ways and Means Committee, which writes the tax laws, and the Budget Committee, chaired by Paul Ryan. As an Army veteran, I'll bet he's watching the Petraeus situation, too. Hi, Congressman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Ryan, it's great to be on. How you doing?
Good. Let me start with Petraeus, who went into a 7:30 a.m. meeting with House members to testify about the Benghazi attack. Do you have any word on what he might have said the CIA's role was in miscommunicating to the American people at first, what really happened there?
I don't have any reports yet. You know, some of these, there's going to be one of the three meetings is in public. The other two are behind closed doors.
Right,
and I agree with Senator Graham, Lindsey Graham, that you're going in different directions doesn't help bring clarity to this situation, but it is what it is. So. It's a typical who gets to speak to the person first. And so it means photo ops and everything else. But will it bring clarity? I hope so, but I doubt it.
Well, this was actually the most emotional moment of the president's news conference yesterday, even
yes,
more than the budget and deficit stuff, defending UN Ambassador Susan Rice, who went on TV
yes.
5 days after the attack, as you know, and said it grew out of the anti-Mohammed video protests rather than being a pre-planned terrorist attack. Here's the president from yesterday on that.
If Senator McCain and Senator Graham and others want to go after somebody, they should go after me. And I'm happy to have that discussion with them. But for them to go after the UN ambassador, who had nothing to do with Benghazi, and was simply making a presentation based on intelligence that she had received, and to besmirch her reputation, is outrageous.
So the president from yesterday and Congressman Pascrell, McCain and Graham say either Ambassador Rice was purposely trying to mislead the public because of the election campaign, or she's too incompetent to be Secretary of State because she should have known, as other people apparently did, that the video protest theory was falling apart. Do you have
or
any?
That she was simply presenting what she was told, as the president suggested yesterday. Now, I don't know, and you don't know, what really does happen, but I cannot picture the President of the United States asking his U.N. ambassador to provide information which was inaccurate, simply to put off discussing the reality before the election. That didn't happen. I doubt it if it happened. Do we need clarity on what exactly did happen and how America came to the defense of one of its ambassadors and three of staff members? I can't tell you right now that I have a clear picture of what happened, Brian, but I do not believe that this was a political decision made by the President of the United States to send the UN ambassador up on the Hill to provide conflicting reports about what actually did happen. And by the way, I don't think there's ever been clarity on how the effect of the misguided film that was made in the United States, which originally we thought stirred up all of this heat.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe it was partially that. It certainly doesn't excuse the tape, the film in any way. But whether it's the real reason, I can't tell you that,
yeah.
Brian. I don't know.
Well, politically going forward, this puts the president in a box, it seems. Either he nominates Rice for Secretary of State, with McCain and Graham already vowing to block her, or he nominates someone else and looks like he caved. Any advice for the president?
I would advise the president to do exactly what he said he would do yesterday, and that is he's taking her possible nomination under consideration. The president did not say that this is his potential nominee. He did say that if the circumstances presented itself, then we'll have a knockdown, drag-out fight. It'll be brought before a committee, the Senate committee, in terms of confirmation, and they'll ask their questions, and Ms. Rice will respond accordingly.
McCain and Graham, even beyond Susan Rice, are calling for Watergate-style hearings, as they call it, on how the Benghazi attack was allowed to happen in the first place and then miscommunicated about. I wonder how concerned you are that the Republicans might be trying to poison the political environment for the budget and deficit negotiations by creating an atmosphere of scandal, even if it's all smoke.
Well, I don't think that McCain and the good senator from South Carolina would be motivated by that kind of Machiavellian idea. But on the other hand, to some people, Brian, the election is not over. It simply continues at a different phase, a different part. So this is, we're on the conclusion side of the election, but that doesn't mean the election is over and we're going to get our pound of flesh.
Right. Well, I was just thinking about how after President Obama's first election, there was a now widely reported decision among congressional Republican leaders to dig in and say no to everything. And
oh,
voters
they did that on the night of the inauguration. You're absolutely right.
Right. And presumably they can't do that again now on budget matters where there's such pressure from the public to compromise, but that this might be another way in to politically weaken the president. It's just a theory.
Well, I think it should be explored. I will tell you this. If it's meant to be a distraction, it's become a distraction, plus other things that have happened since then, as you and I know and read about day in and day out about the behavior of General Petraeus, former General Petraeus, and General Allen. I mean, everything's under scrutiny. The president, I think, will get to it. I mean, he's got a full plate already. This is a second course, I would imagine. But he stuck it to his guns. I thought, Brian, that yesterday was one of his best press conferences he ever gave.
How so?
I thought he was strong. I think he was on. I thought he was specific. I would have liked him to have been a little more specific about the budget negotiations. But I thought it was a pretty strong president that we saw yesterday, don't you?
We will leave that to the listeners to judge. But my guest is Democratic Congressman Bill Pascrell, just reelected from his northern New Jersey district, parts of Essex and Passaic County.
That's now Passaic and Bergen and Hudson County.
Okay. Sorry about that.
With the redistricting.
Okay. So you got to update your site.
Yes.
But all kinds of places in northern New Jersey.
Right.
So here is the president from his news conference on the fiscal cliff and compromise.
I don't expect the Republicans simply to adopt my budget. That's not realistic. So I recognize that we're going to have to compromise. And as I said on election night, compromise is hard.
So that was the president yesterday. And here's Republican Senate Leader Mitch McConnell yesterday.
Republicans believe that there is a way to get additional revenue. We also believe that additional revenue should be tied to the only thing that will save the country in the long run, and that is reforming entitlements.
So they each included some wiggle room in their language. Do you see
the
outlines of a deal, maybe a smaller tax hike for the top 2% and a cap on deductions, something along those lines?
Yeah, this is serious, serious business. I hear too many, and to get to your question, I hear too many Republicans and Democrats saying, let it happen. What happens? It comes January 1st. CBO does this. We do that. We have automatic cuts, and we'll work something out later on. I think that is very, very dangerous. It's almost like looking at Sandy in the eye and saying, you could come in, you can create havoc, and we'll get to you 6 months from now, but let the people suffer from now till then. I think that it's very serious what we're doing here. Remember that in 2011, which I think is in August, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, we passed very critical issues having to do with today. And that is, we said we're going to cut, we'll have $1.5 trillion in budget reductions in discretionary programs. And that was enacted. That was enacted during 2011.
That's what they call
we've already cut.
Right, and that's what they call the sequest.
And now we got to be just as serious going to the next step. And I think the president has laid out a very balanced approach. The problem is that when Republicans talk about revenue, they're talking about they're going to cut some deductions, not allow certain deductions. It doesn't give you that much money to deal with the serious debt that we are in right now, Brian. And I think I lean more to what the president is projecting here, and I believe he's closer to the solution, and I believe we can have a bipartisan solution to this issue. There are still some true believers on the other side, and we got a few ourselves, that are never going to agree to anything. They want the government to collapse. They don't believe in government in the first place.
Well, what about on your side? Because we've been talking about how to raise revenues. The other part of that, as McConnell stated in his clip, and as Boehner did the other day, is entitlement cuts. How
yes.
might the Democrats be willing to save money on Medicare, Medicaid, or Social Security as part of a grand bargain? Some people are talking about raising the Social Security retirement age, for example.
Well, I'm talking, that's one of the proposals. It has nothing to do, however, with the overall budget, as you well know, because these are outside what we consider to be the budget.
But wait, isn't that the part of the, if there's a 10-year grand bargain, which is, I think, what you're saying to try to do rather than just
yes.
a stopgap,
yes.
then doesn't it have to include?
Yes, it will have to include Medicare changes. It will have to include Medicaid changes, and it'll have to include Social Security changes. And the only time we've changed those two major entitlements is when both parties have come together in the last 25 years. I think that's possible. But let's understand where we are, that we already agreed to $1.5 trillion in reductions in spending. Let's understand where we are. Let's understand what happens if this sequestration or across-the-board cuts go into effect, how the middle class will be absolutely hurt, how it may trigger another recession. And I think that's pretty serious business. This is not reality TV. This is real things that are happening out there.
You know,
is there enough initiative on both sides of the aisle to come together so that we all can, so America can declare victory rather than just Democrat or Republican parties?
You know, by
I
the
think
way,
there is.
You know who's already organizing against the cap on deductions method of raising revenue? The charitable and nonprofit communities. And
yes.
full disclosure, WNYC is a nonprofit institution that asks for tax-deductible donations. But I am told that the organizations that represent all charities and other nonprofits think this will be really bad because it would treat donations to the Red Cross, say, the same as it would treat huge interest deductions on your mansion mortgage, and charitable giving could take a major hit. Have you thought about that or have a position
yes,
on
yes,
it
I
yet?
Yes, I have. When I look at all the itemized deductions, in other words, I told my staff to put in front of me last month, what are all the possible itemized deductions that folks make on their taxes? And some of them particularly go to and are very supportive of the middle class. And some, I think, are means-tested, and some need to be capped. So I think we could review. But what I'm saying to you, Brian, is that there is not enough money in savings that would reduce the deficit that much in simply looking at this other source of revenue, as the Republicans call it, rather than increasing tax rates or increasing taxes.
But
I don't think we get there by what they're suggesting, Republicans.
But in addition to that, you're saying that even within the realm of limiting deductions, that you need to look at it more on a deduction-by-deduction basis rather than an overall cap.
Yes, I do.
Before you go, not being on the shore, I don't think your new district goes all the way to the shore. How did your district come through Sandy?
Well, ironically, the Passaic River comes right through Passaic County, obviously, and goes on to other places. It didn't cause any problems because there wasn't a lot of rain. The Hackensack River, however, got that surge back up north, and it came over the banks, and you saw what happened, or Menaki and Little Ferry and Carlstadt got hit very badly. I mean, right now, Menaki has no police department. There's no building. And so I'm trying to get some trailers up there so that they could be assisted. I mean, this had a devastating effect. And, you know, Cuomo threw in his digs on what he thinks we should be talking about. We may have to go to a supplemental. We had a meeting yesterday with the New York and New Jersey, primarily a delegation with Fergate. And, you know, we're laying out very specifically what the needs are. The Jersey Shore needs to be rebuilt. They can't do that over a year or 2 years. It's going to take time. It's going to take money. What are the responsibilities of the federal government? To send this all back to the states, I don't think makes any sense, Brian. I think they should share in the cost, obviously.
And they're going to.
But the federal government still has a role.
But what can you do as a member of Congress to maximize? And since you brought up Cuomo, do you think that his $30 billion request for smart infrastructure for the future for New York State should be canceled and instead get together with Governor Christie and Governor Malloy from Connecticut and try to introduce a tri-state smart infrastructure
program? I think we need a regional approach, and that makes sense, Brian. I would support that.
Congressman Bill Pascrell from Northern New Jersey, thank you very much for your comments on all the
Brian, it's
today.
Always a pleasure, and keep on doing what you're doing. We need clarity. That's what we need.
Very kind. Thank you.
God bless.
Congressman Bill Pascrell, coming up next, the Occupy movement's role in Sandy. It's been very visible in volunteer relief efforts. How come? And their new movement for buying and forgiving Americans' debts. Stay with us.